In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
These last days are not pretty. Christ our Lord and Savior is returning soon, but until he does, we face many hardships and difficulties in life. By his death and resurrection, he has overcome all things for us. And through his word and sacraments, he has given us that victory over all things. But until we see those pierced hands and those beautiful divine eyes with our own two eyes, we still suffer much on this earth. This is the great tribulation, the great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now is the world that you live in. By his ascension, he ushered in these last days, and they continue to be filled with anguish, suffering, terror, and distress. But this is nothing new. Christians throughout the centuries have lamented the downward spiral of this world, each generation saying that their generation is the worst generation to date. And they pointed to wars and brutality, rape and promiscuity, murder and theft, coups and violence, diseases, epidemics, and immoralities of many kinds. And so there is nothing new under the sun, is there? We point to those same exact things, lamenting the condition of our society and the downward spiral of this world. War still rages on, and only Christ's return will put an end to it all. Violence is everywhere, so much so that we're almost immune to it. It doesn't really shock us too much to hear of murders or shootings or bombings. Politics are nasty. Our freedom to vote has brought out the worst in man, the worst in each candidate and in their supporters, each one vying for our hearts, doing whatever they can, saying whatever they can to tear down the opposition or the current administration. There is no love or honor or respect among them, just so they can have our vote. And then they paint themselves as having all the answers. They promise change, but nothing really ever changes. There still is violence in the streets. There still is violence at home, undocumented, unknown to the world. There still is rape and murders, and few seem to take notice or to even care. Children are torn from their mothers' wombs to the applause of millions. Vile sins are not only committed, but they are seen as a sign of a healthy, vibrant, cutting-edge society. And so the perversion of Sodom that was met with fire by God is by man protected and encouraged. The most graphic images are seen in primetime programming and commercial breaks, and I've not even mentioned the rank idolatry that is found in the visible Church of God on earth. Many are deceived. These last days are not pretty. So if you think that Christ will not return in your lifetime because you're just too old, or because you have too much to look forward to, just take a look out the window. And do not think it will change with a new administration taking over, even if you get the one that you want. No doubt some things will change, other things will change for the worse. But sinful man remains the same. So our Lord's words still remain true. Flee. Flee, he says, flee with haste, flee today, not tomorrow, for the great and terrible day of the Lord is coming, and the wrath of the Lamb will be poured out on the entire world as fire from heaven consumes this world. Even those buried deep within mountains will not be able to escape. So do not go back to your house to grab your favorite item. Do not go back down to grab your phone or your wallet. Do not look to get that family heirloom or that vintage bottle of wine that you've been saving for a special occasion. Let go of it all and flee. But we like our family heirlooms. And we never go anywhere without our wallet, and especially without our phone. So let's just hold on a minute, Jesus. First, we would like to enjoy the things of this world before you return. We do want to grow up and get married and have kids. And then there's grandkids and perhaps great-grandkids. And can there be a greater joy than holding them? And then we want to travel and perhaps retire and just simply enjoy life. And so we're really not ready for Christ to return until we're 70, 80, 90 years old. After we have lived a full life. We don't want to miss out on anything. We like it here. As much as we complain about the immoralities of society and the hardships of life, we would rather be here. There is a big part of us in our hearts, perhaps bigger than it should be, that truly thinks this earth is better than heaven, that the joys on this earth cannot be compared with the joys of heaven. And so we want Christ to delay, to put off his return just for a moment so we can have these earthly joys. We don't want to miss out on anything. So the greatest threat to your preparation for Christ's coming is not from the world. Christ isn't telling you to flee physically from the world and to lock yourself up in a monastery or somewhere else, or just to go live in the desert where it's better. It's not. Because as you flee, your sinful flesh flees with you. The greatest danger to your preparation for Christ's return is from your own sinful flesh. You think you have time. You think it will not be today. You can eat your cake and have it too. You can live for the world and still live for heaven. So tell me, what is the one thing that you cannot live on this earth without? The one thing that if you did not have it, you would do whatever you could to achieve it. A spouse, children, a phone, money. Perhaps it's democracy, freedom, or the right to vote. Perhaps it's happiness. But are you not to love God above all things? And if God were to remove even your right to vote, and you never had any kind of earthly happiness, do you still not have eternal joys in your heart? And would you still not have to confess with Job, "The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away, so the name of the Lord be praised"? The reason we think that Christ will not return in our lifetime, the reason we don't mind if he delays, is because our hearts are far too often tied to this world. Like Lot's wife, we look back over our shoulder longing for those good old days. When our Lord says flee, flee. When our Lord says flee today, flee today. Do not wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. Flee right now, but don't just flee haphazardly. Know where you are going. Flee to Christ. Forget the presidents, forget even your own family and intellect. They cannot help you. Flee to Christ alone. He alone is your Savior. And soon he is coming. Soon you will see your brother and your God descending on the clouds of heaven. He is coming very soon, swiftly, quickly, triumphantly, like lightning from heaven. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you will see him. The sky will crack with angelic thunder as his glory lights up the east and the west. It could be today, or this very hour. It could be before this sermon is over. So flee. Do not cling to anything in this world. Cling only to Christ. Do not cling to anything you think is great about this world, or happiness, or anything else. For this whole world is passing away. This is why Christ was born for you, so that you might escape it all. This is why Christ suffered and died for you, so that you might escape. This is why Christ baptized you, absolves you, and feeds you, so that you might escape all that is about to happen. Tucked away in his holy wounds, you have nothing to fear, for he is your Savior. Here, in a banquet too rich for angels, he feeds you his body and blood so that you might be saved from sin and death, yes, most certainly, but also from the terrors and distress and anguish and anxiety and sufferings and diseases and epidemics and any illness or immorality. Here in this Holy Supper, God saves you from it all. That doesn't mean you won't suffer. In fact, it means quite the opposite. It means you will patiently suffer and endure whatever your Lord sees fit to allow in your life. For you patiently endure with your eyes focused not on the hardships around you or what you see, but he refocuses your hearts and your eyes unto that city whose streets are paved with gold and whose walls are built from the finest of jewels. He is your Savior, he alone. So do not miss out on the salvation that he gives because you have something else to do. Do not miss out on your God giving to you his word and his sacraments, his forgiveness, because you had something else that occupied your time. Christ wants to give you these eternal dwellings today. You can see it set before your eyes today. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. For tomorrow may never come. Your God is telling you to flee to him in word and sacraments so that you might be saved. So let go of everything in this world, and yes, that includes your dearly loved spouse and your children. And cling only to Christ, your Savior. Here, he dresses you in the armor of God so that you can withstand the assaults of the devil. Here, he pulls back the veneer of society so that you can see what it truly is. Here he does the same with your own flesh, so that you can see what you truly are by nature. Here no devils can harm you, no sin can trouble you, no suffering or immorality or disease or illness or anything else can overcome you. It all has an end. It all has an end. And it is sooner than you think. Christ has shortened these last days. So soon, very soon, you will follow your loved ones into heaven. Soon, you will join that angelic choir. Soon, you will see him with your own two eyes, your eyes and not another. Very, very soon, but not quite yet. He leaves you on this earth because he still has a purpose for you. It may be just simply to persevere through it all so that his name is glorified. It may be to take care of family or something else. He still has a purpose for you, but he will not leave you here forever. He has promised to bring you out of this great tribulation in holy baptism, and his promises are sure. Your robes are white. Your place is secure. No one else can take it. Your Savior is coming for you soon. So flee. Flee in terror, for out of all that is about to happen, yes. But even more so, flee in joy. Flee to your Savior God, whose holy death for you guarantees that none of it will happen to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.